Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We always love it when you, the listeners, suggest a topic. And this one, well, this one is a real gem.
Oh, absolutely.
Today, we're diving headfirst into Lynch v. Donnelly.
A classic.
Yeah. A case that goes way beyond, you know, just the tinsel and twinkling lights to grapple with, you know, the First Amendment's Establishment Clause.
One of those real head scratchers. It's a case that I feel like people bring up a lot around the holidays.
Right.
But it's so much bigger than just December.
Yeah, for sure.
It really forces us to confront that age-old question, you know, where do we draw the line between religious expression and, well, the government's obligation to, you know, stay neutral on matters of faith.
Exactly. So whether you're, you know, prepping for that con law exam.
Oh, yeah.
Or just, I don't know, fascinated by the legal battles.
Right.
Behind all those holiday displays we see every year.
Every year.
Buckle up. We're going to break down, you know, all the facts of the case, unpack the Supreme Court's decision.
All the good stuff.
And explore why this case is still making waves, even today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we'll also touch on some of the key arguments on both sides.
Oh, for sure.
Because you'll see there were some pretty strong dissenting opinions in this one. It wasn't a simple slam dunk.
Okay, so let's set the stage. Picture Pawtucket, Rhode Island, all decked out for the holidays.
Festive.
Yeah, we're talking Santa and reindeer and... a big season's greetings banner, the whole shebang. But there, nestled among, you know, Frosty the Snowman figures and candy canes, was a creche, a nativity scene.
Yeah.
You know, depicting the birth of Jesus.
The reason this case is so interesting.
Yeah.
This display, you know, it wasn't tucked away in someone's living room.
Right.
This was in a park owned by, well, a nonprofit organization, but open to the public.
Right, right.
And the city of Pawtucket, they'd been putting up this display like for over 40 years.
Wow.
But this time, a group of residents, along with, you know, the ACLU, decided, you know, enough is enough.
They're going to take a stand.
Yeah. They filed a lawsuit arguing that by including the creche in this, well, city-sponsored display, Pawtucket was, you know, essentially giving Christianity a big thumbs up.
Right.
And they claim that, you know, this violated the Establishment Clause.
Right. Now, for anyone who needs a quick refresher.
Always good to have a refresher.
The Establishment Clause, you know, that's that part of the First Amendment that says the government can't, you know, establish or favor any religion.
Yeah. Sounds simple, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But for anyone who's you know, ever studied constitutional law, you know, the devil is in the details.
Always.
Interpreting the Establishment Clause, it's been a source of, well, endless debate, frankly, with the courts trying to find that, you know, that balance, that perfect balance.
Yeah.
Between, you know, respecting religious expression, but also preventing the government from getting too entangled with religion.
So did Pawtucket's holiday spirit, you know, land them in some constitutional hot water.
Well, it was a nail biter, let me tell you. A 5-4 decision.
Oh, wow.
But ultimately, the Supreme Court sided with the city.
Wow. Okay.
They held that the display, you know, when considered as a whole, didn't violate the Establishment Clause.
Okay.
To reach that conclusion, they turned to a... well, you know, a pretty familiar tool in their constitutional toolbox.
Yeah.
The lemon test.
Ah, the lemon test. Now, I know it can sound, you know, a bit dry.
Oh, yeah.
But it's actually pretty crucial for understanding how, you know, how the court approaches these Establishment Clause cases.
Right. The lemon test, it lays out three prongs.
Okay.
Kind of like a checklist, right?
Yeah.
So first, the government action, it has to have a secular purpose.
Okay.
Second, its primary effect. It can't, you know, advance nor inhibit religion.
Right.
And finally, it can't create what they call excessive government entanglement with religion.
Okay. So how did the court apply, you know, this three-pronged test to the Pawtucket holiday display?
Well, on that first prong.
Yeah.
They found that... the city's purpose in putting up the display,
right.
It was, well, to celebrate the holiday season.
Right.
Which they, you know, they viewed as a secular purpose.
Right, right.
I mean, remember, you know, it wasn't just the nativity scene.
Right.
It was a whole, you know, collection of holiday figures and decorations.
Right. So it was like, hey, look, it's not just about Jesus. We've got Santa and reindeer, the whole gang here.
Exactly. It was all about, you know, the holiday spirit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Now, on that second prong... They argued that the creche, nestled among all the other elements, didn't have, the primary effect of advancing religion. It was just one part of a larger, secular celebration.
So the context of the creche, the fact that it wasn't just standing alone, that was key to the court's reasoning.
Absolutely. And on the third prong, entanglement, they found that the city's involvement was, pretty minimal. They just set the display up, right? They weren't, organizing religious ceremonies or anything like that.
Okay, so though they applied the lemon test,
Yeah.
and they found that Pawtucket's display passed,
Yeah.
passed muster.
Yeah.
But did they stop there?
No. This is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
The court's reasoning, it delved a little deeper,
Okay.
bringing in, some historical context
Right.
to bolster their decision.
Okay.
Justice Berger, he wrote the majority opinion.
Okay.
He pointed to things like, well, the fact that Congress has employed paid chaplains,
Right.
and that, we have federal holidays, like Christmas, that have religious
But
origins.
yeah. So he was basically saying, look, we've always had this blend, right? This
Right.
blend of government and religion in our history.
Yeah, it's part of the fabric.
Yeah, the Constitution doesn't demand, a total separation.
Right. Exactly. And he even made a comparison that caused a bit of a stir at the time.
Okay.
He likened the creche to religious paintings, that are displayed in publicly funded museums.
Interesting.
His argument was, well, we don't consider those paintings to be the government endorsing a specific religion,
Right.
so why should, the creche be any different?
That's an interesting analogy. I could already imagine like the estimates on both sides of that one.
Oh, for sure.
But before we get into the dissenting opinions,
Yeah.
which I know were pretty intense,
Oh, yeah.
let's take a quick pause.
Yeah, let's take a breather.
We'll be right back.
That comparison, the creche and the art in the museums,
Right.
it really it highlights this tension, right?
Yeah.
In this area of the law, like, how do we decide what level of, religious expression in a public setting
Yeah.
crosses that line into, like, unconstitutional endorsement?
It's almost like trying to like, I don't know,
Yeah.
pin down a shadow,
Yeah. It's tough.
Like you can't quite grasp it.
Yeah.
But before we, get lost in the weeds here, the philosophical weeds, let's remember that Lynch v. Donnelly, I mean, this didn't settle this debate for good.
No,
You
yeah.
know, if anything, it sparked even more discussion and legal wrangling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how it always goes, right? One Supreme Court case,
Yeah.
it's like a catalyst. Then you have this whole cascade of other cases that try to,
Not wrong.
refine it, clarify the initial ruling.
So what happened, in the wake of Lynch? Did cities just start putting up, nativity scenes everywhere, thinking that they had like a
Like a free pass.
free pass?
Not quite. Lynch did, set a precedent, but it also left, a lot of questions unanswered.
Okay.
Courts were grappling with applying the lemon test, and some even came up with new tests,
Oh, okay.
like that endorsement test, that we mentioned earlier,
Right.
all in an attempt to navigate this very, very complex landscape.
Okay, so walk us through some of the key cases that came after Lynch. Like, what were the big legal showdowns
Yeah.
that kind of helped shape our understanding of these religious displays?
Well, one of the most significant is County of Allegheny v. ACLU.
Okay.
This one was decided in 1989, and this case it involved two different holiday displays in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So you had one a nativity scene inside the Allegheny County Courthouse,
Okay.
and then you had a Hanukkah menorah placed outside the city county building,
So,
alongside a Christmas tree and a sign saluting liberty.
two different displays, two different religious traditions.
Right.
You'd think the court would, apply the same logic to both,
You
right?
would think that's where things get really fascinating.
Okay.
The court actually struck down the creche display,
Okay.
but upheld the menorah display.
Wait, hold on. How did they justify that? Did they just like throw the lemon test out the window?
Not quite. They used the lemon test.
Okay.
But with this nuanced understanding of context.
Okay.
The court emphasized that the creche, you know, standing alone inside the courthouse.
Yeah.
It had this, you know, this effect of endorsing Christianity. There was no secular context, you know, to soften the religious message. There was no Santa, no reindeer, you know, to mm-hmm. kind of balance things out. It came across as the government, you know, promoting one specific faith.
So context is everything. Just like in Lynch, you know, where the creche was surrounded by all the other holiday decorations.
Exactly. They said that the context is key, you know, for figuring out whether a religious symbol violates the Establishment Clause.
Okay.
The menorah, on the other hand, it was part of this broader display.
Yeah.
It included secular symbols like the Christmas tree and the sign about liberty.
So the menorah, because it was, you know, part of a more inclusive, you know, kind of multi-faith display, it didn't run afoul of the Constitution.
That was their reasoning.
Okay.
They saw the menorah display as, you know, acknowledging, you know, both Christmas and Hanukkah as part of a broader season of celebration.
Right.
But the creche display lacked that same, you know, inclusive feel.
It seems like trying to figure out what's, you know, constitutional and what's not, it's almost like, I don't know, deciphering a cryptic message.
You know, it's not like a straightforward formula.
Right, right.
And Allegheny, this is just one example.
Right.
I mean, there have been, you know, countless legal challenges to religious displays.
Right.
With courts considering, you know, factors like the location of the display, the types of symbols that are used, and the overall message that's being conveyed.
Okay. Give us another example. Like what other displays have, you know, ended up in court?
Oh, you've seen it all.
Yeah.
Cases about the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. religious monuments on public property.
Right.
Even the use of religious symbols in like government seals and logos.
Oh, wow.
It seems like almost anything can become a battleground in this area of the law.
It's amazing how much legal wrangling can go into something, you know, as seemingly simple as a holiday display.
It's really interesting, you know, because it speaks to how deeply these issues are, you know, religion and public life.
Yeah.
It's all entwined, right?
Yeah.
And we're constantly trying to find that balance, that sweet spot
mm-hmm.
where we can respect religious freedom.
Yeah.
But also not, you know, crock the line into the government endorsing one belief over another.
It sounds like there's no easy answer, like no one size fits all rule,
right,
for kind of navigating this territory.
You're absolutely right. Each case has to be evaluated on its own, you know, taking into account all the specifics, all the details, you know, the circumstances.
So if a town council, you know, calls you up and says, you know, hey, we want to put up a holiday display, but we're worried about getting sued. What advice would you give them? What are some, you know, some general guidelines to help them stay, you know, on the right side of the Constitution?
Well, I think, you know, as we've seen, context is king.
Yeah.
You know, if a religious symbol is included, it shouldn't be the main thing, you know, in the display.
Sure.
Surround it with other, you know, secular symbols that create a more inclusive message.
Okay.
So think, you know, snowmen, snowflakes, lights, you know, anything that evokes the holiday spirit without being tied to one specific religion.
So basically, like, go heavy on the like winter wonderland vibes.
Yeah.
You know, less Silent Night and more Let It Snow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. And location matters too. You know, a nativity scene inside a government building, you know, that's going to raise a lot more red flags.
Yep.
than one in a public park, for example.
And I imagine the, you know, the intent behind the display is important as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. The city or town, they need to be able to articulate, you know, a secular purpose for the display.
Right.
If it looks like their main goal is to, you know, promote a specific religion, well, that's going to be a problem.
Okay, so context, inclusivity, secular purpose,
mm-hmm.
got it. But even with these guidelines, I have a feeling like these debates are far from over.
Oh, you're absolutely right. This tension, you know, between religious expression and the separation of church and state, it's woven into the fabric of American society.
Yeah.
The cases that followed Lynch v. Donnelly, they've just added more and more layers to this ongoing conversation.
And that's what makes this whole area of the law, you know, so fascinating.
Oh, absolutely.
So in our final part, let's kind of step back from the legal specifics.
Yeah.
And explore some of the broader implications of Lynch v. Donnelly.
Okay.
We'll delve into some of the arguments, you know, for and against religious displays in public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And consider, you know, what kind of impact you know, these displays can have on different groups within our society.
Right. It's a conversation that goes beyond just the legal technicalities.
Yeah.
And touches on some, you know, fundamental questions about who we are as a nation.
Sounds like we've got a lot to unpack.
Oh, yeah.
But before we do, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the final part of our deep dive into Lynch v. Donnelly. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've spent the last two segments, you know, really kind of unpacking the legal ins and outs of Lynch v. Donnelly and you know, tracing its impact.
Ripple effects?
Yeah, its ripple effects through, you know, subsequent cases like County of Allegheny v. ACLU.
Sure.
But what's so interesting is, you know, this isn't just some, you know, some legal puzzle.
No.
You know, it's a reflection of this, you know, much broader societal debate.
Yeah.
About the role of religion in public life.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So let's zoom out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of tackle those big picture arguments. Like, what are the core beliefs, you know, driving those who really advocate for these religious displays in public spaces?
Well, for a lot of supporters, you know, these displays, they represent a way to acknowledge that historical influence of faith,
mm-hmm.
in the founding and the development of our nation.
Sure.
They argue that America's roots are just, you know, deeply intertwined with religious principles.
Right.
And that, you know, acknowledging religion in the public sphere, it honors that heritage.
So it's about, you know, kind of recognizing the impact of religion, you know, on our history,
mm.
and our national identity.
Exactly. It's also about fostering a sense of community.
Okay.
And shared values, you know.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, their faith is just, you know, central to who they are.
Yeah.
And seeing it reflected in public spaces can, you know, can offer a sense of belonging.
Right.
Like a confirmation that their beliefs are part of the fabric of society.
Right. That makes sense. But as we've seen, you know, not everyone embraces these displays with you know, open arms.
Right.
What are some of the concerns that are raised by those who oppose them?
Well, opponents, you know, they often argue that these displays, especially when they represent, you know, a single kind of dominant religion,
yeah.
can be exclusionary.
Yeah.
And alienating to those who don't, you know, share those beliefs.
Right.
They worry that it sends this message that you're not, you know, fully part of the community.
Yeah.
Unless you subscribe to a particular faith.
So it's about ensuring that, you know, that everyone, regardless of their religious background,
mm-hmm.
you know, feels equally welcome.
Yeah.
And represented in public spaces.
And then it goes, you know, even deeper than just feelings of inclusion.
Right.
Opponents also, you know, they raise concerns about the separation of church and state. They
yeah.
argue that these displays, you know, they blur the lines
yeah.
between government and religion,
right.
potentially leading to, you know, favoritism or the perception that the government endorses one set of beliefs over others.
Yeah.
And this, they fear, you know, could erode the very foundation
yep.
of religious freedom, you know, for everyone.
Wow. It sounds like, you know, both sides are really grappling with some pretty fundamental questions
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
about, you know, American identity.
Yeah.
Inclusivity mm-hmm. and that delicate balance
right.
between individual rights and the role of government.
It's a complex issue, right?
Yeah.
There's no easy answers. And as we've seen, you know, the courts, they've really struggled
okay.
to establish clear-cut rules.
So where do we go from here?
Yeah.
You know, how do we navigate this terrain, you know, in a way that respects everyone's beliefs and fosters, you know, a sense of unity rather than division?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a challenge that that requires, you know, thoughtful dialogue,
yeah,
empathy, and a willingness to understand, you know, perspectives that might be different from our own.
Mm.
You know, we need to find ways to have these conversations respectfully, recognizing that people's religious beliefs, they're deeply personal.
Yeah.
And often, you know, tied to their core values.
Easier said than done, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially in today's world where it seems like everyone's, you know, shouting their opinions from the rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I think finding ways to engage in productive, you know, and respectful dialogue, it's crucial if we want to, you know, bridge these divides.
Maybe one way forward, you know, is to focus on that common ground.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Whether we're religious or not, we all share this desire for a society that's fair, that's inclusive, and respectful of individual differences.
Right.
And if we can start from that shared foundation,
mm-hmm.
maybe we can find ways to express our beliefs, you know, and our traditions without making others feel excluded,
right,
or marginalized.
It's about finding that sweet spot,
yeah.
right, where individual expression doesn't, you know, doesn't come at the expense of another person's sense of belonging.
Right.
It's a delicate balance.
It is.
But I think it's a goal, you know, worth striving for.
Absolutely. And who knows, maybe through these conversations, we'll discover, you know, new and creative ways to celebrate our diversity.
Yeah.
And find, you know, find unity in our shared humanity.
Well said. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Lynch v. Donnelly, what's the key takeaway, you know, that you hope our listeners will kind of carry with them?
I think the most important thing to remember is that this issue, it's far from settled.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this dynamic process of grappling with these fundamental questions,
yeah.
about religious freedom, individual rights, and the role of government in a pluralistic society.
Right.
It demands our continued attention,
yeah.
our thoughtful engagement and a commitment to finding solutions,
mm-hmm.
that uphold those principles of liberty and justice for all.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Right.
So to all of you listening, thanks for joining us on this journey through the legal labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
Of Lynch v. Donnelly,
yeah.
and the broader debates that it's sparked. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to the cases we discussed,
mm-hmm.
and other resources.
Yeah.
You know, for further exploration.
Yeah, keep learning.
Keep those thinking caps on.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you next time for another deep dive into the fascinating world of law and society.
See you then.